Massachusetts Gallery. Yes, I'm here with the one and only Floyd Nicholson, Senator Floyd Nicholson, I should say. He's getting ready to go down to Columbia tomorrow. I understand there's been some voting going on the vetoes on the budget for Governor Haley. You know, originally, I don't think anybody was going back till September. Boy, did that change, huh, Floyd?
Yes, that changed quickly, especially when they closed down the Arts Commission, you know, effective July 1. So everything changed because, you know, they were anticipating some vetoes, but they think it would not affect the overall budget, the larger projects and everything. But when the vetoes came out, hey, it was a sudden change. Hey, we need to get back right away because if we're going to override these and make sure these agencies continue to operate, we need to do something now. We cannot be waiting until September.
So, Floyd, were you surprised over any of the vetoes that the governor came up with?
I was really surprised when she cut the $10 million out for the pay raise for teachers and the closing of the Arts Commission, just shutting that department down totally. And also locally, when she vetoed the $2 million, you know, for the Genetic Center.
Now, I understand that the $10 million has been overrode down there with the House today. Is that correct?
Yes, I've heard that. Right before I came over here, I talked to the assistant in my office and said the House had overridden that one and the Arts Commission also. They had not gotten to the one with the Genetic Center. And you know, the way it operates now, the vetoes go to the House first. If they sustain it, that's it. We don't even get a chance to vote on those issues and everything. We only get to vote on the ones that the House override, you know. So if they sustain some of her vetoes, that's it.
Okay, so they've actually got the final word.
They got the final word first. That's right, you know, so.
Okay, but they actually said that they wanted, that they would overturn her veto on the $10 million for the teachers?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the same thing for the Arts Commission?
Right, uh-huh. I know those two, and those were, I think, two of the top priorities, you know, that a lot of people throughout the entire state were concerned about.
Absolutely. Well, I know that now the $10 million, I understand one of her concerns was is that's a one-time $10 million, and where's the money going to come from next year?
That's a good question. That's what she was saying. You know, it's non-occurring. You know, it's just a one-time effort. But I think, you know, teachers have not had a raise in a long time. If you have one time, get it up, and I think the economy is beginning to turn, you know, and I think we'll be able to come up with the additional funding because I'm a big advocate for public education because education controls everything. The better educated society you have, the better society you have. You know, just take for instance, the more educated, it'll reduce crime. If we get our young people to stay in school, get an education, get a job, they're not going to be out on the street committing crimes.
Well, either that or they might come up with a different way to do crime.
Well,
a joke. That's a joke, Floyd. And get more sophisticated, maybe.
Okay. And maybe not get caught then. Okay.
Exactly.
Right.
There
okay.
You go. Yeah.
And then I think when you think about health care, the better educated people will be more educated and they'll know how to better take care of themselves. And I think health care will go down and everything. But I think you just have the better educated society you have, the better overall society you have in general. And it affects a lot of other things. Instead of putting money into corrections, we can put it into education and be proactive instead of reactive. You know, let's do some things to prevent crime and have them be more prisons, add on to the jails and everything. Let's keep them out. We will need that.
Absolutely. I mean, you're very that my comment was just a little fun.
Oh, I know you, Ann.
But you know, when we talk about education, one of the big things on education is if we don't have an educated workforce, we're not going to attract the type of businesses that would be interested. And of course, South Carolina suffers from the standpoint of not being at the top of the list. We're more near the bottom.
Mm-hmm. And that's true, you know, because, you know, you're not going to have people to come and invest billions in your community with new startup and new plants if you don't have the trained workforce. And that's one key thing, you know, because when companies are looking to relocate, when they talk to commerce, the first thing they want to say, how is your educational system? Do you have the trained workforce? Because, you know, we're in a high-tech side. It's not the manual labor now,
right.
You know. You have to have the trained workforce because, you know, they don't want to come and invest in this plan. Hey, we don't have any workers here that are trained to operate the high-tech jobs that we have right here. So that's why we have to invest in education and make sure that our facilities have the technology in place to train these young people for the high-tech jobs, especially, you know, in our high schools, our tech schools, and our colleges. And we have to make it affordable for them to attend these institutions. You know, when we say you need to have that education, but you're pricing them out of it, saying, hey, it's going to take $25,000 for you to go to college 1 year, you know. And then kids go and get loans and come out older than $40,000 and $50,000 and find a job making $10 an hour. But time they get out a few days later, they got to start paying that loan back.
Sure, exactly.
You know? And so, you know, it's a catch. We got to make sure that we can help make sure that higher ed is available for kids who want to attend and encourage our kids to attend and do their very best.
So what is the answer since school is, and of course I think Clemson, Carolina, I mean, they're all having tuition increases. I mean, even Lander had one, although albeit a smaller one, but still they're having bigger increases. It just keeps getting more expensive.
And the reason why, because, you know, years ago, I think the state used to provide like 50 or 55% of the funding for higher ed. Mm-hmm. Now they provide about 12 or 14%.
Sure.
So that difference, where does it come? They have to increase the fees for the students, you know.
So what's the answer on that one so that we can make education affordable and yet have our higher education survive and prosper?
We have to bite the bullet and start funding it. If it means, you know, we have to increase taxes or something, you know, I don't believe in just increase the tax. But if it's for a worthwhile project, we just have to bite the bullet and say, this is what we are going to do, you know.
Well, you know, that brings up, you brought up the taxes. You know, well, how did y'all do on reforming the tax code this year, Floyd? Let's discuss that a little bit, Floyd. He's giving me the, what are you talking about, look, Ken?
Well, you know, what we did, you know, the Tax Realignment Committee, they did that study. And
they did a study.
Yeah.
Good, yes.
And it's on the shelf.
And it's on the shelf. So I do believe I saw where somebody on the committee has decided that next year y'all need to start earlier working on this. I don't remember whether it was in the Senate or in the House, but, you know, that down there in Columbia, y'all should start earlier working on this.
So you
what a concept.
So we should go in December instead of January so we can start.
No, they actually should start addressing this maybe in January.
I know, that's what I was just throwing the joke back at you.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the problem.
That was the thing, you know. We did the study, and they came up with some great recommendations, and we should really take a look at those recommendations and see what we can do to alleviate some of those problems, you know, some of those tax breaks, so that we can generate additional revenue to fund the programs that need to be funded by our state.
Sure. And, you know, it's like the, the unemployment. They've gone up on the figures on that.
Yeah, they've changed that. You know, that needed to be restructured years ago and everything has changed. But down the road, it's going to level out and everybody will see changes and everything because
sure.
We made some changes with the workforce. You know, that needed to be implemented.
Absolutely. I mean, my point was that they actually did go in and they
do that. And that's what we need to do with some of the other.
Okay, so we're waiting for what? Another session or another new group coming in or what?
Well, yeah, it'll have to be another session because this one is over,
right.
You know, and everything. And I think, you know, election year.
Yes.
So I think that's why a lot of things, you know, in election, you know, same thing.
So the same thing that we have going on up there in Congress and the Senate, up there in the federal government, without them doing the same type of thing. Because it's an election year, they're not going ahead with some of the things they should do up in Congress.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
In this election year?
Yeah, this election year, Floyd. So now you're telling me we got some of the same type of situation in Columbia.
In a certain aspect, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that? Just truthfully, how do you feel about the fact of being there and putting your all into something and having things just really pulled back because it is an election year?
Yeah, no, it really is very frustrating at time because I think, you know, you should be there to serve the people And if you make the right decision, do the right thing, you don't worry about re-election. You know, I'm going to do this because it's re-election. Now, I've always figured, you know, I'm going to vote my conviction, you know, and do what's right, you know, election year or not. It shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter. Just the decision I make is for the people. I'm
exactly.
here to represent the people, and I'm going to voice this. If I don't like it, fine, you know, and, you know, proceed on.
Well, I agree with that.
And you're on your record and everything, but everybody, you know, oh, it's election time. I cannot do this, can't do that, you know.
And yet it's our state and our people that lose.
Yes.
In this.
Yes.
That is a shame. Well, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. If you have a question or a comment for Floyd, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. When we come back, we are going to talk some more about some of the vetoes, and we're also going to spend some time talking about the Genetic Center and what this means to us here locally, but also to the state and really to the world. So don't you go away. Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Can't be wrong. Rocking and rolling
all week long. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery, we are talking with Senator Floyd Nicholson here today. He gets to go to Columbia tomorrow and work on some of these vetoes that Governor Haley has put through. And, of course, if the House overturns it, it's done. Is that right? No, it's the other way. If the House sustains it,
It's done.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So in the case of the $10.1 million to support teacher pay raises, you actually then will have to vote on it.
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Anything that the House override, we'll get a chance to vote on it.
Okay.
But if the House sustains a veto, we don't get a chance to vote on it.
It's done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there are a lot of different ones in here. Some of the things that were in here, like $200,000 for the Southeastern Wildlife Exposition marketing. I think that's nice. You know, we all like to advertise, but if we don't have the money, sometimes you got to pull some of those advertising campaigns, Floyd.
Yeah, you know, that's true. That's a big festival they have, the wildlife, each year. It brings a lot of people in and everything, you know, but just like you say, certain times when things are tough, you just have to cut back on your advertising and everything, and I know it brings a lot of economy into the area of Charleston when they have that festival and everything, but you know, sometimes you just have to look and say, hey, what's best for the state? Because if you don't have the revenue available, you know, you have to look at the most important things and then go down the list.
Absolutely. So I just thought I would point that one out. This one right here, $300,000 for the North Myrtle Beach Historical Museum. That sounds like a nice thing.
Yeah, it is, you know. I know they have a lot of history down there in North Myrtle Beach, you know. So, you know, they have a nice museum, you know. We have a museum here and everything. I'd
sure.
like to get some money for our museum and everything. So, you know.
But I think in the end it looks like there were some earmarks that were put in here that really when you look at the absolute necessity budget, maybe they weren't actually necessary. So I think maybe some of the things she did maybe were good things. What do you think, Floyd?
Yeah, I think so, you know. As I went through the list, you know, I didn't agree with everything, but there were some things I agreed with on.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, because there are a lot of needs, and every county, every area of the state have needs, you know, and they are just trying to get some assistance to meet those needs that they think that are important for their particular area, you know. But, you know, all of them cannot be funded, you
sure.
know. And all of them are good projects. I'll say they're all good projects, but can we fund them right now?
Sure, and are there alternative ways that maybe they could be funded? It's nice to be able to get the money, shall we say, from the state,
mm-hmm.
but could some private groups, private step up and maybe see about handling that.
Yeah, I think in certain cases, yeah, but a lot of the private businesses are hurting also, you know.
Absolutely, Floyd.
They are not making the money they made, so they cannot put things money back into the community like they used to and everything, you know. So, you know, it's sort of like a ripple effect.
Absolutely.
You know, everything is affected, and a lot of time to get down, hey, we used to get funding from the private businesses, these big industries, but now they are cutting back, you know, and everything. So to keep from trying to sort of closing the doors, we're going to say, can we go to the state and maybe get some assistance?
Sure. That has to be a tough position to be in.
It is.
To be having to look at it and say, and I mean, you know, you got to look at Governor Haley. I mean, those are tough decisions. Nobody probably likes to sit there and go, red line, take that out, take that out, take
that
out. Yeah.
That's right. You know, because it's affecting people, you know. They're great projects, but I just can't see us doing it right now and everything. And it's going to have an effect upon everybody.
Absolutely. So, but the Greenwood project here that Self Foundation had said that they would give $2 million. You want to explain that one to us?
Well, you know, they came up with these endowed chairs, and the Self Family Foundation said they would give $2 million for an endowed chair, and they were going to ask the state to match that for an endowed chair of $2 million. You know, because you know the Genetics Center does a tremendous job in research and working with disability. It has saved the state and the nation a lot of money because of the research they've done down there, the problems they've solved down there, and it's a great facility. They have a great project working with the research institutions here in South Carolina, Clemson, University of South Carolina, and MUSC. They do a lot of genetic training down there, and it's just mind-boggling what they do down there and the money that they've saved, you know, for individuals with disabilities and special needs. And I think this is a great program, and definitely we need that $2 million from the state for that endowed chair.
Now, I understand. I talked to Mike Pitts, Representative Mike Pitts, this morning, and he was telling us they have figured out a way to, I guess we could say, cure spina bifida.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that is something that affects not only South Carolinians, but all across the nation and the world, I'm sure.
That's right, because, you know, you have people all over the world coming out there for the research that they are doing there. And just think about the money that's saved, you know, for families of individuals who had spina bifida in the past, you know, the money they had to pay and everything. And look at what's being saved now, you know, the savings to the state and the nation, you know, for the research and the cures that they've come up with down there and everything. And we need to make sure that we continue, because that facility is one of the leading research facilities in genetics throughout the entire world, not just the state and the nation, but the world.
It is amazing that we have a facility like this here in Greenwood. I mean, I don't think even all of us here in Greenwood really even think about it. It's just, it's the genetics center.
Yeah, and yeah. They don't know, you know, a lot of people, oh, where is that located, you know, and you ride back in there and see the facilities and just take a tour, you're going to be amazed at it. Really what's going on right here in Little Greenwood. And I remember the past governor, Sanford, in his last year in office, we were able to arrange for him to come up and take a tour, and he was amazed, and he didn't know, and he'd been the governor for 8 years, and he didn't know about the genetics center and all what is going on right there.
Absolutely. Well, when we come back, we're going to have to talk about how do you think you're going to be able to make this one come to pass? Because that's probably one that is going to end up in the Senate to be discussed, won't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so we're going to have to talk about that a little bit, because the Self Foundation, you know, has come up with $2 million, and if the state will match it, that, of course, would give them $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
But $2 million, that's a lot of money, too, isn't it, Floyd?
Yes, it is. You know,
that's
a lot of money.
So it's a situation that's going to probably have to be worked on a little bit to get that to come together. But I know Mike Pitts is definitely committed to making that happen. I know that your sweet mate, Senator Billy O'Dell.
Yeah. See, Mike Pitts, he's on the House Budget and Control Board, you see, and everything. So he was instrumental in that. Billy talked about it numerous, you know, and that's really something that we definitely need here, you know, for the great job they're doing and be able to continue to do down there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk some more about that. We're going to take your question. If anybody has a question for Floyd, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We're talking. We're hoping we're covering what you want to hear. And if you don't hear it, hey, give us a call, 229-7984. When we come back after the news, we'll be talking. Don't you go away.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Back here at Sharp Passes Gallery here with Floyd Nicholson, Senator Floyd Nicholson. Going back to Columbia tomorrow, but he's here with us today. He was just on the phone, tearing up the phone lines, trying to find out what's passed and what hasn't passed down there. Floyd, how are things going down there?
Well, it's going pretty well, just a slow process and everything. I still don't think they've gotten to the veto about the genetic center. You know, that's one of the main concerns for this area. I know they've overridden the one with the teachers' pay increase and the Arts Commission, so really waiting to hear now about the Genetic Center.
Well, that's $2 million. That's a biggie right there. That is a biggie. So what kind of thought process have y'all put into thinking about how to make this come together? Would money have to come out of something else in order for that to be in, or what are you thinking, Floyd?
I'm just thinking that the House is going to override.
You're hoping the House does the dirty work. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, because, you know, if it's not over, we cannot go back and deal with it this year and everything. You know, it has to be next year. So, you know, it's either do or die.
Do or die. Now, here's another question for you. What if, let's say, it did die? Where does that leave the Self Foundation? Will they still hold the money over, or are they going to say, we're sorry, you guys didn't do it?
No, they still committed their money.
They've still committed their money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there is a possibility for it to come back around next year. Of course, the best thing would be to get it done this year, of course.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we understand that.
So they can proceed on, right. Uh-huh.
Absolutely. So other things that are going on. Now, how did you feel this last year went down there in Columbia? How did you feel about things overall?
I had mixed emotions, you know, and everything. You know, I think it started out, and I think a lot of things we could have done, we never did get to because there's not enough working together, you know.
Between the Senate and the House,
you know,
or between in each division?
In each division.
Between the Republicans and the Democrats.
Democrats, you know, sit down and let's say what's best, you know, instead of just sticking to the party allegiance, you know, and everything. Doing what's right for the people, you know, looking at issues, the key issues that we need to do to move our state forward. You know.
Well, why do you think that has become such an issue, not only on the state level but on the federal level? Why do you think that? I mean, I remember, I'm not sure anymore, that where Republicans and Democrats used to reach across the table and work things out. What has happened, Floyd?
I don't know what brought the change, but that's true. You know, it was interesting. In parade this past Sunday, I think Mamie said it was parade, she was reading to me about an interview with George W. Bush Sr.
Yes.
And when he
was
president.
Yep.
Yeah, and he was talking about how Republicans and Democrats worked together then. They had a camaraderie of working together, you know. It wasn't a partisan politics that you see now. And you could get a lot of things done, you know, because they put the parties aside when it came up to the key issues and everything. But
was
how
it the money that was, do you think, because the economy was better, that there was more money available, or what?
I just think people were committed then to serving the people and not the party, you know, doing what's right for the people And it might have been the economy was better and everything, but still looked like there was more camaraderie and working together then as opposed to now. I don't know whether it was the economy that caused things to go just so partisan now, but we really need to change that. It really needs to change because and realize it's give and take. You can't get everything your way. Let's sit down and see if we can compromise to come up with a solution that would be best for the people, and both parties will come out on top. You know, but everybody wants the party to be on top. But it's a give-and-take situation where you must realize you can't have your way all the time. Let's give and see what's best for the people. And let the people be the one to receive the rewards as opposed to the parties.
Absolutely. Now, you know, we've got a lot of petition candidates because of the, I'll call it the snafu in on the getting on the ballot, all this paperwork, was it right, was it not right? I actually was disappointed because I really think that the Congress, the House down there, the Senate, that something could have been done to have just said, whoa, stop, instead of kicking it up to the Supreme Court. I mean, why wasn't something done, Floyd? A lot of people, I'll tell you what a lot of people have said, is because the incumbents were totally happy with the fact that people that were trying to get on the ballot had to go through all this rigmarole, and those that are incumbents didn't have to go through it.
My feeling, everybody should just have to file the same way. It shouldn't be any different whether you're incumbent or you're just running for office. I think it should be the same process for everybody, you know. One shoe fits all.
Well, I agree with you, but I do think that maybe something could have been done so that it didn't go all the way to the Supreme Court. And then
right,
we have
right.
some in some counties, there's nobody on the ballot. Look
right.
at Clemson or Seneca up there. They
Oconee.
Didn't have any. Oconee,
yeah,
there you
yeah.
go. They had nobody on the ballot. That's not the right way. No wonder we can't seem to get anywhere.
And it's true, and that's why it was such a light turnout, you notice, in the primary. People got frustrated.
Yes.
You know, and I would say, hey, it's just let them all run. You know, what difference?
Exactly. And, I mean, it just seemed kind of ridiculous that if you didn't file your paper copy at the place where you, but you had filed it with the ethics, I mean, and you produced a receipt that showed that it had been filed, it seems insane to me.
Yeah, the whole thing, when they went to computerizing everything,
yes.
they said, you file online? What else you need to do?
Supposedly, that's the direction we want the world to go,
that's
right?
That's right. Everything is online. You cannot file a paper thing. A paper disclosure now anymore. Everything has to be done online.
Except,
so why you need another?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why I say it should be the same process for everyone, whether you're an incumbent or your first time running. If you just go and file your disclosure online, that's it.
I agree with you. And I think that could have been resolved with, don't you think that could have been resolved either through the election ethics committee or somebody could have said, whoa, stop, let's not take this to the Supreme Court. Let's let everybody run and just be done with it.
Yeah, I think it could have been done. Just say, hey, okay, all right, we're going to change this. I don't know when the law was implemented about that, you know, and everything,
right.
but just say, hey, okay, we made a mistake. Let's just let them run, and this is what we'll do next time.
Exactly. I think and you know what one of my concerns is that as we go forth and we get close to the election, this is really going to be something that's going to make South Carolina look bad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the national media. So far, it hasn't really been out there on the national media, but I just feel it's coming.
Yeah, it's coming, Joe. Watch Letterman. You'll see him.
You'll see him on that. Now, what do you think, though, about will the fact that we will have candidates that have become petition candidates that don't have a party affiliation, do you think that could change some of the workings, or are they still have party affiliation? What do you think?
You know, I think it's good. You know, party, vote for the person anyway. You know, and let's get away from just because he's a member or she's a member of this party,
mm-hmm.
I'm voting for him. You know, I think it'd be better off just voting for the person, you know. I don't care what party. If this is a good person, I think he's going to serve the people. So let's go vote for him. But this whole petition thing, it really has been, you know,
it's been shortchanging. It's shortchanging the voters.
And that's why it was a very light turnout in the primaries. anywhere from 10 to 20 to 25% of the registered voters
sure.
going out to vote and everything, because they were upset
sure.
with the whole process and everything. And then for those who ran to say they were disqualified, now you got to go out and get all these
petitions
signed. And the thing about it, you know, they got to make sure they're a registered voter. I know
and
I had a friend of
district,
mine.
Yep.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine up in Spartanburg. They used to have to do this. He went and got all the signatures, but he found out he didn't have enough of registered voters. A lot of them were not registered voters, and he was disqualified, and so he
exactly.
had to run and got beat.
Well, and here's the thing. They have until August 15th
to certify. You know, they got a whole month to
mm-hmm.
certify, so they got to go check each one of those individuals, say, oh, okay, it's a registered voter, you know, and everything. And the time in that, August 15th, and then it's just mind-boggling.
It really has been
a mind-boggling situation, you know, and I wish they would have just said, hey, let them all run.
Right.
You know, as long as we see where they file, they had the receipt, and that's what they did. They went and filed, they had the receipt, you know, especially in Greenwood, you know, because everybody filed at the voter registration office.
Sure.
And kind of said, okay, they filed, they had the receipt. Then they go back, oh, they had to have a paper. What you need that for?
Exactly. I think it's been a travesty to all the voters, because their selection has been shortchanged.
They really have, you know, and to the ones that are running, you know, it's just, hey, I did what they told me to do.
Absolutely. So they've jumped through hoops now twice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6276.
Sharp Facets Gallery, having a great conversation with Senator Floyd Nicholson. You know, we were just talking about the petition candidates and them getting on the ballot. They only have, could be until August 15th before we actually find out. And, of course, this not only affected Greenwood, it was a statewide issue here.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And it is unfortunate that this is what has come to pass, and I think, as we were talking about, the people that are being shortchanged are the voters here in this issue.
It sure is. And the thing about it, you know, I hope people would sign the petition. I know the candidates were out asking people to sign. They could sign the petition. They're not asking them to vote for them. They're just asking to have the ability to be on the ballot, you know.
Sure.
You know, because I'm campaigning to get my vote, but I got to have signature of registered voters in my district to be on the ballot. You know, a lot of people were confused about that, you know. Oh, I can't sign that one. But you
sure.
could sign it, because they just want to get on the ballot.
Absolutely. So I guess we'll find out by August 15th who is and who isn't.
That's right.
That's right. So, but any other issues that you said you were, how did you feel about the whole, you had mixed reviews of your last year there for the whole Senate, not you personally, but the whole Senate.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of time wasted, you know, on frivolous stuff and everything, you know, and could have got down. And just like to say, you know, we really got to look at, eventually, looking at our tax structure.
Like that word, eventually.
Yeah. I can't say when. But
you guys need to say when. It
yeah,
needs
we do.
To be... It needs to be, this is a priority, because
yeah,
everybody knows that this
well,
is
we thought
like
it was a top priority when they was talking about appointing the Tax Realignment Commission. Oh, it's a top priority. Yeah, it was a top priority in appointing the commission. But then once their findings were done, it was not a top priority to look at it that time.
I guess so. That's why on the federal level we have the possibility of sequestration coming down the pipe, because... Well, isn't that that's almost the same type of thing, right? Yes.
Did you say something? I didn't hear you.
Yeah, right. You did hear me. You know you did. And that is the issue, is how to move the mountain. And we have become so so bogged down in things that we miss the point, I think, a lot of times. Not me personally, but Congress, the House, the Senate down there.
You know why they miss the point?
Why?
Because they're really not looking at what's best for the people. You know, what do I need to do to get reelected?
That's what they're looking at.
And the thing about it is, if you look at the people and do what's right for the people, then you'll be reelected. Because the people are the one that elect the various senators and representatives. We need to get back to doing things that's going to be beneficial for the people, to making sure that we can do whatever we can to make sure that all citizens try to have a good quality of life. What do we need to do? What are the things we really need to do, the programs we need to have in place to make sure everybody has an opportunity for a good quality of life?
Now, Floyd, saying from that aspect, what do you think that your constituents here in Greenwood need for the quality of life? What things would you like to see? I mean, we're done for this year, but what things would you like to see futuristically when it comes to Greenwood?
When it comes to Greenwood, we have a great educational system, doing whatever we can to fund that educational system so that each student come through, we can provide a good quality education for them, whether they want to go into higher ed when they finish or whether they want to go into the workforce. Train those individuals and producing good jobs and having good jobs for them right here so that they can lead a good quality of life. We have excellent health care facilities right here, but we got to create good jobs that have benefits where they can afford to get health care. You know, it's great to have a job, but if you don't have any benefits, you know, it's a difference in those two. Because, say, if I get sick, they go into the emergency room, and you know the cost of going to the emergency room. But if you got a good job and you have good benefits, then they're going to take care of themselves. They're going to the doctor and take care of things that need to be done. Attracting businesses here, industry, so that we can have jobs for people to go to once they finish, you know, the work, going through tech school to get a good job or going to a four-year institution, have some of the people come back, have jobs here available to make sure that they stay in the community and everything.
What do you think are some of the challenges as far as getting the type of industry in here? Now, we're doing pretty good on the retail sector right now. We're going to have Boku Retail. But I'm talking about the jobs that really are the jobs that we need here. Retail is retail, but
yes,
the jobs that you need
the
to...
The good jobs, you know, with good benefits and everything, you know, it's going to take. And I know it's always been a hassle, you know. They say transportation. They say you don't have an airport.
Yes, we do. Not a main one,
okay.
But yeah, right.
You don't have an interstate highway. You know, we have 25. We have 72 four lanes and everything.
Do you think that's really an issue?
I don't think so, because look back in the 70s when we were able to attract the industries that we had here. 72 was not four lane then. 25 was not four lane then.
Sure.
But it was for the quality of life, you know, that we had to offer. The educational system, you know, the health care, the activities for families and everything. That's why people were willing to come here, because it was a good quality of life for individuals to stay in this community. And that's why we have to get back to make sure that we offer a good quality of life, you know, for the citizens that live here. We got a good educational system, got a good health care facility, we got to have the arts in place and everything, you know, just a wide array of activities, of good culture activities, you know, to provide for the families and everything. And at the top, you know, you got to have that education and health care.
Absolutely. So, President Obamacare, what you think? That was a good thing?
I think it's a good thing. You know, I haven't read all the pages.
There's 2,700 now. Come on now, Floyd.
I'm down at 2,692. So.
You're almost finished then.
No, it's a lot of pages. I think there's some good things in there, and I think there's some flaws. But nobody really understands. But everybody needs health care.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a good step in the right direction, you know. Because people don't, you know, Medicare being here all the time, right?
Right.
Is that a federal program? I'm not sure. Is it?
I think so. Yeah,
okay.
It is. Yeah, it's a federal program. Now, what about the expanded issue for the states and everything with Medicaid?
You know, I went out to Wesley Commons a few weeks ago and had lunch out there, and they were talking about in the Medicaid program. You know, if you got beds available now, the state will only pay for a certain number of beds. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have beds available, you know, but you can't take them in if it's over the number that you have and everything. And I don't think that's fair, because you know why? They're balancing the budget on the back of the poor. Who are the ones usually get the Medicaid? The poor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they need to use these beds, but they cannot let them in because it's over the number that we're going to fund. So really the budget's being balanced on the back of the poor.
Hmm. Interesting.
You know?
It is. So, it is.
And I think, you know, Medicaid, and I think of these senior citizens, a lot of the poor, what they've contributed in building our state and our nation, you know, coming up, and now you just want to shove them to the side, you know, because 80-some years of age, you know, didn't have education, but they worked hard.
Sure.
They
well,
did a
we
lot
had
of
the
things.
Mills, and we
right,
had
the, yeah, yep. And they were. And now you say, oh, you don't have the funds. We're just going to shove this out. We got the beds, but we can't take you in. We're just going to put you to the side.
Well, it's a lot of interesting issues on how they do, but under the expanded Medicaid, that's a one-time, and then the states have to be able to
take it
on.
Up, yeah.
Those type of things are not good for states.
You know, you start out and feel, okay, we'll fund it right here, but now down the road, you got to take it over.
Right.
And that's true. You know, where are you going to generate the funds from? You know, always being just like the unfunded mandates,
right,
whether they federal or state level. This is what you got to do, but there's no check with it.
Right.
We tell you what to do. Just like now in this budget that was passed at first from the House, they said there's a 2% raise in there for teachers, but we're not giving you the money. Now, that was what was in the budget originally from the House, you know. They put a 2% raise in for teachers, but now you got to come up with the money. We're not giving you any money.
It's an interesting philosophy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, we tell you what to do, but you got to come up with, and that's just passing the buck on to the local.
Right, exactly.
You know, and that's not fair. If you're going to come up with something, you got to implement it, well, you come up with the funding. You tell me I got to do it, well, you send the check to go along with it.
Well, there you go. We've now heard from Floyd Nicholson, Senator Floyd Nicholson, right here with you today. Floyd, thanks for taking the time and sitting down with us this afternoon. I know you're looking forward to going back down to Columbia tomorrow, aren't you?
Oh, yes. You know, when I go to bed tonight, I will probably wake up every 30 minutes looking at the clock, seeing if it's time to get up and go. I'll be so excited, you know, and so, you know.
Oh, well, you know, it's a job and somebody has to do it, right, Floyd?
That's right, you know, and like I say, I'm down there to represent the people, and the decisions I make is for the people. It's not about me, you know, it's about the quality of life for the people here in the district I represent and the state, because we have to think about our state and the district, because wherever people are, we should be concerned about it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Floyd, for coming by and seeing us this afternoon.
Thank you, Ann, and it's always a pleasure to come by and be with you, and I just thank you for what you do here at the radio station and your business for Greenwood and the surrounding area.
Thank you so much, Floyd. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. I'm going to leave it with you. We got a little timeless cool coming your way, so don't you go away. Stay right with us. That's going to do it for us. This is WCRS. We'll join the news in progress.